In the first week of ordinary time, we read the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It's a quick immersion into the public life of Jesus. Jesus, after his baptism, which we celebrated on Sunday, was in the desert for 40 days, and then he started gathering disciples and driving out demons and healing people, and just a dynamo of activity. The different Gospels choose different things to emphasize. In John's Gospel, the first sign, the first miracle, is the changing of the water into wine, as we know. We'd be pondering that mystery on Sunday if it were not for the fact that we have the Feast of Santo Niño on Sunday, so we have a different reading. But the wedding at Cana is one of the significant beginnings of Jesus' public ministry. And he, in that sign, he produces an abundant amount of wine. He overdoes it, as if to say he's got more than just taking care of one domestic problem. In all the Gospels, he starts his public ministry in Galilee, not in Jerusalem. Here in Mark's Gospel, we know from yesterday that his first sign was the driving out of a demon, an unclean spirit. That was in the synagogue. So he starts his public ministry, so to speak, in a public a place of worship. But then he goes to the domestic church, the home of Simon and Andrew. And there he encounters Simon's mother-in-law, who's sick. So it's a move from the kind of public space into a very private place, a domestic situation, and a sick mother-in-law. And first thing he does is heal her, and the first thing she does is serve him and his disciples. So by that time, not just Simon and Andrew, but also James and John are there. But Jesus' ministry very rapidly expands. After the family, pretty soon it's the whole town of Capernaum gathered outside the door after the Sabbath was over and the people were permitted to walk. They showed up at the house seeking healing and deliverance. And he healed many, and he delivered many from demons. But his ministry doesn't stop there. It's not just for Capernaum. In the third paragraph of this gospel, he's off into a deserted place praying, and then when they are looking for him, he says, "Nope, we're not going to stay here. We're going to the nearby villages. Because this is why I was sent. It was for this purpose that I have come. I'm not here to fulfill the expectations of one person or another, or to answer simply the cry of one person or another. I'm here as the Savior of the world." He doesn't say it that way, but he started to reveal it. I think it's helpful to see this rapid expansion of his ministry, because it helps us understand why our experience of the work of God is the way it is. When we experience God doing something for us or for one of our loved ones, we're immediately aware that God is with us, God is for us, God is on our side, he loves us. But when he doesn't do what we want, we rather rapidly come to the conclusion that he's not good, he's not with us, he's not on our side, he's forgotten us. And that's what people do so quickly. We've seen it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. When God doesn't fulfill the rather narrow expectation that we have, well, then there's something wrong with God. In the psalm today, the psalm response is, "The Lord remembers his covenant forever." The Lord remembers his covenant forever. It's an affirmation of faith. And it's certainly true. The covenant, we know from back to Abraham, is a promise of many descendants, he'd be the father of many nations, a promise of land, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. But the heart of the covenant is the relationship of God and his people. I will be their God and they will be my people. It's a relationship of love, a covenant of love. We expect, since God is, he loves us, we expect that he will heal us and take care of our problems and heal our loved ones and solve problems in the world. And he does do that, but not on the scale that we have in mind. We're thinking about our life, my family, my household, maybe my village, or maybe something that was in the headlines, the war in Ukraine or something, fires in Los Angeles, to say, well, okay, God, take care of this problem. And when he doesn't do it, then we say, well, maybe the Lord doesn't remember his covenant forever. It's a wrong conclusion, but it's a very common one. You see, the people of Capernaum could have said, oh, he was helping us, now he abandoned us. He went somewhere else. No. He's doing more, not less. He's doing more than we expect. He's working on a larger scale than we understand. We only see this much, and he's doing this much. So that's that helps us understand what's going on when things seem to be going wrong. It's not that God has abandoned us or has forgotten his covenant. He's fulfilling his promises in a way we don't see or understand fully. And that's why it takes faith. If we could see it all the time, it wouldn't take faith. We would just see and know. But when we don't see and we don't understand, then we have to rely on our confidence in God, in faith, that God is remembering his covenant and he remembers his covenant forever. Now, today's first reading helps us understand this larger scale of what Jesus is doing. The letter to the Hebrews, remember from the beginning, is trying to make clear who Jesus is and what he's really up to. The mission, and in this section in chapter 2, the author of the Hebrews says that Jesus shared in our blood and flesh. He had our human nature so that he could die and through death destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So his mission here is not simply to heal this person or that person or drive out this or that demon. He's going to heal everybody of the curse of death and free everybody from the power of the evil one, the devil, who keeps everybody enslaved through fear of death. This is how Hebrews says it. He would destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through the fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. This slavery is in the background all the time. And you could think, for example, in the town of Capernaum, after Jesus had healed everybody and driven out all the demons of everybody in the neighborhood, they don't just go home and say, okay, now everything's finished and Jesus has finished his mission. No, there's always something more that they want him to do, and especially save them from death. Okay, I'm healed today. My loved ones are healed today. What about tomorrow? And so there's this constant cry, Lord, there's more we need from you, because we're afraid of death and we can't do anything about it. It's looming on the horizon all the time. And this is what the letter to the Hebrews is saying. Fear of death enslaves everybody. Those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. How can we possibly overcome fear of death? Only if someone comes along and defeats death. Now we're talking about Jesus' real mission. Defeating death, defeating all sin, defeating all evil, forever. So that's what this reading is referring to. He doesn't come to help angels. He helps the descendants of Abraham because he's remembers his covenant forever. And he becomes like his brothers in every way that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. So he's not just a healer or just a great preacher. He's the high priest who's taking the sins of everybody on himself and setting us free. So that's helpful for us. That's what he's doing. Whether we see it or not, is not that important. Whether we understand it or not is not that important. That's what he's doing. So when we put our trust in God, we're putting our trust in this vast mission of Jesus Christ. Here it's just starting, but we know the whole picture. He's come to lay down his life on the cross, to conquer death, to rise up and give eternal life to everybody who puts faith in him. So let us put our faith in him and continue on this journey. Today's saint is a good example of faith, Saint Arnold Jansen. I said he's on the Philippine liturgical calendar. I don't know where else he might be honored, maybe in Germany or in Holland, where he did his ministry. If you know the history of that period of time, he's a German priest, right? Arnold Jansen is a German priest, but in that time, the German government was oppressing the church, persecuting. So a lot of people left, including Arnold Jansen. He left Germany, I think, because of the persecution. And so the Germans were saying, "Oh, this is terrible. This is a terrible thing." Arnold Jansen said, "Well, maybe it's not. Maybe this is an opportunity for us to do something different. Maybe God has a bigger plan in mind. So our sufferings are not the whole explanation of what God is doing. Maybe we should evangelize the whole world." And so Arnold Jansen has this vision of evangelizing everyone in the whole world, not just the Germans. It's a pretty big vision. And that's what the Society of the Divine Word is all about, especially evangelizing in places where the gospel hasn't been preached or where the gospel hasn't been accepted widely. So they're missionaries to the world. It reminds me a little bit of that story of what happened after Stephen's martyrdom in the Acts of the Apostles. You might remember there's a severe persecution and the Christians in Jerusalem all scatter. And what happens is it spreads the gospel to Samaria and all different places. And so it looked at the time like this is terrible, a persecution, a suffering. But in fact, it led to the spread of the gospel. That's something like what happened in the experience of St. Arnold Jansen. Yeah, he got driven out of Germany and he ended up founding a community that went all over the world. He himself, I don't think, left Europe. I don't think he traveled very far. But his community did. China, Africa, Asia. Here, the SVDs have done a lot of great missionary work. So, just another example of God having a bigger picture than we can see at the moment. But if we open our eyes of faith, then we can see, God is doing great work, and God remembers his covenant forever.